HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan, announcing show number 208, recorded live Thursday, March 18th, 2010. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode, Scott talks with eStrategy Development Manager Jade Bailey.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'm here in the beautiful Wynn Las Vegas casino, and I'm sitting down, in fact, with Jade Bailey, who is in charge of social media for the resort. Is that true?
Yes, that's correct.
So this is interesting to me on a couple of levels. You have a social media strategy because you're not just a PR person. Your title is what? Is it director of social media?
It's eStrategy Development Manager.
eStrategy Development Manager. And how does one get a job like that?
It was sort of an evolution for me. I started off with Wynn as in a public relations capacity and sort of grew into this role. Originally, it was a lot more broad than social media. It was all online strategy development, so it included some of the analytics for our website and also our mobile strategy. And then social media was a component of it, which was a really, really good fit. And we saw that there was a need for more and more social media activity, and that's how I ended up spending most of my time. So this role sort of was a natural progression for me.
Mm-hmm. When did Wynn as an organization start to realize that social media was going to be something? And didn't Wynn realize it, or was it a kind of a grassroots thing?
We realized that there was a need for it for a long time. However, we're a big brand, we're a luxury brand, and the way that you have to communicate in social media was a departure for the way that we normally communicate with our guests. Mm-hmm. So because it was new, and you know the brand has a lot of equity, it was something that we proceeded with caution. So we spent a lot of time looking at what else we were doing and monitoring and sort of eyeing the pool before mm-hmm. jumping in.
So I'm hearing kind of underneath that there might have been some concern that with a brand of the stature and of the quality of the guests that you expect, that it might cheapen the brand by introducing, you know, Twitter mm-hmm. or Facebook, these kind of young, hip, and unproven things.
Exactly that, and also there was a fear of because of the immediacy of social media. You know, for example, we have three nightclubs at Wynn and Encore, and people wait online at the nightclubs to get in until 2 a.m. And what would happen if an angry clubgoer sent a tweet at 1 a.m. and was like, "This place stinks, like I can't get in"? You know, how would we see that, and how would we fix it with the level of service that we are accustomed to and that we have promised to our guests?
Mm-hmm. And do you run multiple Twitter accounts, and is Twitter your primary way of using social media?
We currently run two Twitter accounts because we have two hotels, so one for Wynn and one for Encore, which is the sister hotel in the Wynn collection. Mm-hmm. We have Facebook fan pages for both Wynn and Encore. We have a YouTube channel for Wynn Resorts, and we are active participants in a lot of the user-generated content sites, such as Yelp and TripAdvisor, mm-hmm. which are very important for our business.
Mm-hmm. Can you juxtapose like how you would use a fan page on Facebook with how you use Twitter? Is the fan page, I mean, someone clicks, "I'm a fan." So what? Right? How are they engaging there's engaging with the brand, there's engaging with the customer service and the personalities behind the brand. What kind of communication goes out on a fan page versus what kind of communication goes out on Twitter?
It's actually really interesting that you ask that, because I often think, how are Twitter and Facebook different? And I know that they distinctly are. But something really interesting happened to us on Facebook recently that hasn't yet to happen on Twitter. And I posted a picture of a shoe from one of our boutiques here, and we have a lot of very expensive things at Wynn. And so this was a very expensive shoe, and a couple of guests have written back, "Oh, it's so beautiful, it's so beautiful." Mm-hmm. And then one woman wrote, "Oh, this is a great shoe. I'm coming to Wynn this weekend. I'm going to call Troy, who I know works there." And then I looked away for a little while, and then I checked back a few hours later, and Troy, the employee, saw it. And he remembered this guest, and he was like, "Hi, I'll be there from this hour to this hour. This is a limited collection shoe. We only have 12 of them. Ladies, if you want a pair, call me and I'll ship them to you." And I was flabbergasted. I was like, this is the best example of an employee actively engaging in social media.
Well, and was this just some, was Troy in, empowered to do that as an employee? Is there like a blog smart policy, or is there, I mean, what is your policy for letting someone like that engage directly with a guest, bypassing all the usual?
We have a social media policy, and very technically speaking, that was not in accordance with our policy. However, it was such a great example that, you know, it's things like that that I then use as data points for saying we need a more open social media policy.
Mm-hmm. But you didn't, of course, go to Troy and get him in trouble for doing that.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's one of my favorite stories of employee engagement.
That is cool. And now that's something that he wouldn't have been able to do using Twitter, because I assume that you control the access to Twitter and you probably use a Twitter management suite of some kind to manage that. And you do tweet yourself. You're the person who tweets behind the...
Yes, yes.
And but Troy does not. So he was enabled. He was enabled to do that. He was paying attention. He saw it happen. He was empowered as a Facebook user to simply comment and say, hey, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the way that you would have expected a fan page to be used? Or do you post like videos and promotional things on the fan page? Is it more of like a portable press release place?
It's definitely a viable avenue for us to communicate with media. We also upload videos that we've posted on our YouTube channel. It's really a place for us to communicate with our guests and our fans, about relevant things that are going on in Vegas, and things that are going on with the hotel.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've always wondered about is how much, the number of followers that someone has affects their customer service. And I've got into a number of arguments with some of my followers on Twitter who've said that I'm getting an unreasonable amount of quality service, let's say, because of my follower count. Recently, I tweeted to United Airlines, that I left my Amazon Kindle on a plane. And within about 12 to 17 hours, that was back in my hands. Someone had made the right call and it was empowered to make change and got me my Kindle back. And a lot of people were like, great, that's awesome. Social media, United Airlines, you all rock. And everyone else like, well, yeah, you have 25,000 followers. That's totally artificial. I have 12 followers and they would never do that to me. How do you make those kind of decisions? And do you even pay attention?
I definitely do pay attention because, unfortunately, the number of followers is a widely used indicator of how influential you are on Twitter. I don't let that influence my decision. Basically, we use Twitter and social media as an extension of our guest service. And if you are a guest, regardless of how many followers you have, if you have some sort of problem or some question and it's legitimate, we can usually tell and immediately we'll respond to you.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear for people that pay attention to Twitter and Mashable and Dig that, you know, it only takes one tweet and that person could have one follower for something to turn into a problem.
That's exactly right.
And of course, one of the things that's always frustrating to me is that once something bad has been said, once someone has taken some, I call it giving bile a permalink, right? So you take some negativity and put it out there, that's going to always be out there. Do you ever like say to a guest after they've said something negative and you've resolved their problem, do you have them go back and tell their friends, or do you say, can you remove that negativity, or do you just keep it out there as part of the conversation?
I go back and forth about that. Sometimes if it's really, really negative and we've fixed it and the guest is wowed and it's very clear that they're wowed, then I'll sort of ask them offline and say, hey, you know, do you mind removing that? But if it's sort of neutral, then we'll usually leave it because I don't believe that they should have all positive content out there. I think that negative gives all of the content a little bit more of a realistic factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely want to make the conversation authentic, but at the same time, you don't want to feel like you've got your thumb on the roulette wheel, right? You don't want to make it artificial. And that seems to be a balance, because I think also that if you were, if the person took offense at that, they might, in fact, that could backlash.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and if the guest said, "Wow, I can't believe Wynn did that," and that could turn into a whole thing as well. Now, you guys, speaking of follower count, you have a lot of followers on Twitter. Where are you at the time of this recording?
We're at about 335,000. We're the most followed hotel in the world on Twitter.
And how does something like that happen? When you're a hotel, I assume someone at some point launched a browser and said, "Create new account." Was that done by you? And you said Wynn and Wynn Encore, or did you go and call the folks at Twitter and verify that account and make that happen?
The initial Wynn Las Vegas account, I believe, was being held by a squatter.
Really?
So we were able to have it released to us.
Uh-huh. So you're able to go and say, we verified this. And is that verification process via, you know, kind of phone calls and Skype? I mean, how do they tell that you're really who you are? You could build a whole thing. What would you, were you involved in that?
I wasn't involved in that. That was done before my time in social media.
And I understand that Twitter gets involved with kind of large accounts, and sometimes people will get added to what's called the suggested user list. And what is that, and has that played a role in your success?
Sure. So when was added to the suggested users list in October? It was a tremendous surprise. It wasn't something that we asked for, nor was it something that we really wanted. But it happened, and we've reaped the benefits in terms of number of followers. We grew at, you know, a few thousand followers per day for quite some time.
And you said you ran two accounts, though. You have one for Win and one for Win Encore. Does that one have a similar number of followers, or is that growing more organically?
No, the Encore account grows organically.
Mm-hmm. And how many does that have right now?
A little over 4,000.
Mm-hmm. So how as someone who is honestly answering these tweets, as someone who opens up TweetDeck or co-tweet and says, all right, I've got two accounts that I'm going to manage. One has 4,000 clearly highly engaged followers because they chose to follow you, which, you know, 4,000 is a non-trivial number, as well as 300,000, who may be slightly less engaged because they were suggested. Do you find a difference in managing two different accounts of a similar type with dramatically different follower counts?
The two accounts are interesting. They're fairly similar comments that come in. I don't prioritize which one I'll respond to more because of the variance in follower count. Mm-hmm. However, I do notice that because Encore has less followers and because it is not as high profile as the Win account, that's the one that I can experiment a little bit more with. That's the one I use to respond a little bit more to folks on.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman from another parallel universe. Got to tell you about some of our things our sponsors are doing. They make this free podcast possible. If you're developing a new line of business application, you've probably tried the latest version of Silverlight. Now you can get even better results by combining the functionality in Silverlight 4 beta with some of the richness of the third-party controls from our friends at Telerik. They're the first vendors to offer native support for the Silverlight 4 beta and their rad controls. They've got a new Silverlight 4 CTP suite of these controls. They let you tap into the framework's great potential. You got native right mouse click and all the new features of Silverlight. There's 38 controls that give you all these features. You can start building those compelling line of business applications right away. I encourage you to check those products out at Telerik.com/Silverlight. And, thank Telerik for supporting .NET Rocks, supporting Hansel Minutes on their Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/Telerik. Now back to the show.
Do you find that having 300,000 people following you creates a lot of noise and just a lot of nonsense by some fraction of the followers who might be not engaged? Or if those people find that they're not interested in what you have to say, they simply unfollow? I'm trying to get a sense that if the difference between you have a very interesting opportunity from a social media experiment perspective of like two similar accounts, one on the what they call the Sewell or the suggested user list and one not. Do you have 300,000 deeply engaged users? And does that now that you're, are you still on the Sewell at this point? Are you still on the suggested
user list? Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you're growing a lot on that particular account. Do you find that they may not even be familiar with the Win? They may not have followed you as an intense fan, but now that they have, you know, they're more likely to come here.
Right. Well, I feel both ways about that question. I feel that social media is a long-term strategy. So because you're not a fan of us and because you don't know of us now, that doesn't mean that, you know, through reading our tweets because you follow us, mm-hmm. gives us an opportunity to passively, you know, be in the follower's mind.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a way to attach that? Like, I assume that there's someone, some older gentleman or lady, some boss type in a suit up in a, you know, I always think of the Las Vegas television show and there's like, you know, the boss, right? Do they want to know, Jade, how many people have come here because of you and the work that you're doing? Is that what it's about, attracting new people, or is it about just maintaining a level of satisfaction and quality?
I would say first and foremost, the goal is to provide the same level of service that we're known for throughout the resort in person, to provide that level of service online.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the second goal would then be to increase or to drive incremental revenue. And by that, I mean utilizing Twitter's geolocation services and talking to highly relevant followers.
Mm-hmm.
or they might not even be followers, but folks that are just tweeting about Vegas and mm-hmm. tweeting about restaurants who, you know, are in town and they're relevant and they're looking for a place to have dinner tonight, where it would make sense for Wynn to jump in and say, hey, have you tried our buffet?
See, and that was interesting. That's my next question is that, you know, when you're using a tool like TweetDeck or Seismic or one of these things that has like multiple columns, there's people who are following Wynn, and then there are people who are talking about the Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you find people replying to you versus people just talking about you and you kind of butt in? Because, you know, Twitter is kind of a cocktail party where it's okay to interrupt someone talking about a particular subject.
I actually usually see more people talking about Wynn mm-hmm. than actually including our handle. So I see a lot of my main search is just the word Wynn.
Sure.
And I see a lot of people talking about that. And the responses is usually positive. It's always sort of funny for me. I get my sort of nerdy giggles this way.
Well, you kind of lit up when I told you that, because obviously this is a part of your life. This happens all the time.
Yeah, so I see people and they're so surprised that the hotel writes them back.
Yeah.
I see people tweeting, you know, I'm coming to Vegas next month with my friends. Should I stay at Bellagio or City Center or Wynn? Or, you know, what buffet should I go to tonight? And I'll see their followers write them back. And then that's usually how I see the mention of Wynn. And then I will often jump in and they're like, oh my gosh, the hotel tweeted me. I can't believe it.
Really? And I know you were telling me as we were getting ready to set up here that you even tweeted about like what you would think of as being fairly banal things like, oh, the weather is great in Vegas right now,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, one might even think of being kind of cheesy, but you're getting people excited about that. They're engaged about it. Like, oh, we're in New York. Is it really nice over there?
Yeah, that works well. I was sort of on the fence about that recently. And then but then I was thinking that, you know, the vast majority of our followers are not in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
People visit like Vegas between 3 and 4 times a year. So the majority of the time they're not here, but they're still following us. So it's a way for us to keep our content relevant and keep our followers up. So it's not like, oh, Wynn is only talking about the special that they have for Vegas this weekend. Like, I'm tired of hearing about that.
Yeah.
So I know that the East Coast has been pounded with bad weather lately. And, you know, we're letting you know in a nice, playful way that the weather is great in Vegas.
Yeah. And now, currently, as I understand, you're the only person who's tweeting on behalf of the Wynn, but potentially you could build a team if this became a larger situation for you.
That's the goal.
Mm-hmm. And as you're doing this, since you're the single pair of eyeballs, we'll say, that's looking at least at Twitter, although we know that Troy is looking at Facebook,
mm-hmm.
that do you have certain followers that you're actually having an ongoing kind of like month-by-month conversation with? You're like, oh, it's that guy again. And he's like, he just really is into talking about the Wynn.
We do. That was one of my first favorite things about Twitter. Within the 2 weeks, we started engaging with this follower. His name is Brian Fay, and he is a diehard Wynn fan. Every time he comes to Vegas, he mm-hmm. usually stays at the hotel. His daughter's middle name is Wynn, named after the hotel, because
he's
such a big fan.
Wow, that's
hardcore.
And I was
like, oh, this is exactly why we need to be on social media. Because there are these hardcore evangelists.
How would you meet this guy?
And that's the thing. He's a regular guy. He wouldn't, you know, he's not a high, and by regular, I mean, you know, he's not a high roller.
He's not a whale.
Yeah. So he wouldn't, you know,
He wouldn't like call you and roll in like, I'm coming to the Wynn, get the limo ready and the suite.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, in a casino, that those are usually what are considered the VIP guests.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been great to find fans like that.
But he's a VIP guest in the sense that you know him and that he's excited. So mm-hmm. he's just as important that I would assume as potentially someone that's
definitely
famous.
Because, you know, those followers, we've got a handful of highly engaged fans, and they're great because I can always count on them for things. If someone writes, you know, occasionally we get negative tweets about, you know, some of the fees. For example, it's everywhere in Vegas, it's $4.99 to use an ATM.
That's a standard. That's a Vegas thing, not a Wynn thing.
It's not a Vegas thing, and it's not a Wynn thing. Yeah, but people that are staying at the hotel will attribute it to Wynn, and they'll say, you're nickel and diming your guests by charging a $4.99 ATM fee.
Mm-hmm.
So then I can, you know, privately ask one of our highly engaged followers to write back to this person and tell them that it's a Vegas thing, that it's not just a Wynn thing. That means so much more than, you know, the hotel writing back.
Right. How often has someone actually given you a legitimate suggestion that you had never thought of and you've actually implemented at the Wynn? Like, wow, that would be great if we had a little placard that said this in the rooms, or maybe if we said this to the guest. Have you actually changed how you do the hotel business based on Twitter as suggestion box?
We haven't yet, but I think that we will in the future.
Really? You think that that your relationship, now that you've built up this, this, and I say your relationship with the higher-ups, is such that you've proven that this is a valid customer service, you know, starting point?
I would certainly say so.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever find yourself directing people to, like, standard customer service? I mean, you can't really solve a person's problem in 140 characters. Or can you?
I can't usually solve the problem in one tweet that is 140 characters. It usually takes a while. Last night I was tweeting with a guest who was a potential guest from Scotland, mm-hmm. who had he had a specific offer that he had received via email for us.
Yeah.
And the offer was for a room with one bed, a standard room.
Okay.
Because we don't have very many rooms with two beds.
Okay.
So he wanted to book four of these rooms, and they all needed to be this double room that was not included in its promo,
mm-hmm.
that he received. And I was telling him, unfortunately, the best way that he had to do this was to book this online and then call the hotel and switch the rooms.
Right. It's a very specific requirement. Right?
Yeah, it was very specific, but the entire exchange was happening at, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, his time in Scotland. And
well, you were, but of course you were enabling that because you were online.
It required five or six DMs to sort of get to that. So it's really hard to answer it in one post.
Now that's interesting though. You said DMs. So you were actually, what is the ratio of direct messages that you'll send to people and try to solve their problem versus solving it in person? Do you, as a representative of this organization, take it to dynamic direct message quickly and say, follow me and I'll handle it? Or do you try to have the conversation in public?
I try to keep the conversation private if I can, for the sake of not clogging up our stream with a bunch of at replies to one person.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that I can't fix immediately, or if there's any sort of customer information. So if a guest tweets us and says, "I want to come to Vegas in 2 months. What special can you offer me?" And if it's something that if they're a casino player and I need their red card information, which is our frequent player card, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want them to send that information publicly. I would want it privately.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's someone that wants the reservation confirmed, I'll ask them to send me that information privately.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, 5 years, 10 years down the road, that this is going to be considered as acceptable as like a 1-800 number? Or is it always going to be slightly different from?
I think it will get to be more mainstream in time.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I've noticed, more sophisticated Twitter accounts doing is when they do a reply, an at reply, they'll add a dot or they'll add an R in front of it so that it is a reply, but it's more of a mention. So here's something that I'm sending to you directly, but really the larger group would like to hear that. Have you implemented that here?
Not too often. I have once in a while,
mm-hmm.
but not too often.
Do you give much thought into that kind of stuff? The idea that there are people who are watching in the sense of they're following you. And of course, if you reply to someone, they're not going to see it unless they follow that person too. And with so many followers, that's probably very rare. Do you find yourself retweeting things and kind of?
I do. I'm an active retweeter. I believe in that. You know, we're all members of this community,
mm-hmm.
And I really believe in retweeting. So I retweet, you know, guests who have taken great pictures of themselves around the resort,
mm-hmm.
or any sort of really great feedback. I also retweet some of our partners. For example, Delta Vacations is one of our sales travel partners, and they participate in Travel Tuesday a lot, and they often tweet about Wynn and Encore, and then I'll usually mm-hmm. retweet them when possible also.
Is the Wynn internet address just WYNN.com?
It's winlasvegas.com.
Winlasvegas.com. It would be interesting to get like a tiny URL, like a win custom tiny URL, like wy.yn. I don't know, like if there is a .yn, mm-hmm. and implement something like that.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Do you track things? Like do you use like Bitly and keep track of stuff and then use that in reports? Do you have to justify things to people and say, look, we tweeted this and the link to a particular online property was visited X number of times? Do they pay that kind of attention to your metrics?
That specific question about the click-throughs, no, but I certainly watch it on my own for mm-hmm. my own growth purposes. It helps me see that perhaps the tone of the message or the way I'm phrasing it is not conducive to a lot of click-throughs.
Mm-hmm. Do you give much thought to time zones? Sometimes I find myself, because I have a lot of followers on the other side of the world, I'll do a tweet at 8 in the morning and then the same tweet at 8 in the night just to get good coverage.
No, I haven't. I'm not sure if I would do that because I wouldn't want to be repetitive.
Right, and you have a lot of followers. I suppose someone could say, "I'm tired of hearing about these things," and then it would start feeling like an advertising stream.
Right. I mean, it's very important for us. As I have been mentioning through the entire interview, as this luxury brand, we don't want to be standing out on the street with our microphone broadcasting the specials that we currently have going on. We know that we have customers in this channel, and we want to be here as a support network for them and an information mm-hmm. network.
Well, I really appreciate you sitting down with me today, because one of the things that I kind of get from you is that you're interested in protecting your brand and helping your brand be successful online, but not in that kind of overly corporate way. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I feel that it sounds like, since you're in charge of this this e-strategy, that there's an authenticity. Because it sounds like the win is beginning to understand that you can be real and still be a high-end brand and position mm-hmm. yourself as such. And does anyone question that? Do they feel that you've cheapened the brand by doing this foray into online, a YouTube channel, and a Twitter?
I don't think so. I mean, there were certainly skeptics in the beginning, as mm-hmm. there always are when you work in the new media and emerging technology mm-hmm. space. But I think that the success that we've had with Twitter has been great, because it has confirmed like the sign off or the buy-in from most of our key executives, which is really what we need to get to have the freedom to explore this space even more.
So what are the Twitter accounts that listeners could follow to see your work?
Our Twitter accounts are at Win Las Vegas and at Encore Las Vegas.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much, Jade Bailey, for chatting with me today.
Thank you very much.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'll see you again next week.